Thank you once again for joining us this afternoon. I am Peter Lewis, and with me we have Cassell Lewis. We'll be talking to you about nutrition, and a good place to start nutrition is with breakfast. We appreciate you allowing us to come into your home to just have a little talk with you. In fact, we won't mind if you call in, tell us what's on your heart in regard to breakfast, because we realize a lot of people these days do not think breakfast is important. And we'd like to hear from some of those people, as well as some who think breakfast is just the greatest thing since planet Earth got here. All right? But as we're looking at the subject of health, why should we even consider nutrition? So far, we have covered what is health. We have covered disease. We have covered the state of health in America. And now we are down to the bottom line. Now, let's get into it. New START, the acronym for nutrition, exercise, and so on. But to start out with, our original text, 3 John 2, states, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So the Bible does tell us and encourage us to be in health. And we're going to talk about a good place to start when we think about health, nutrition. Most people don't think too highly about nutrition. What do you have to say about that, Cassell, why people don't regard nutrition?
Some reasons that people probably are unaware of in terms of nutrition is that they've been given the wrong information. For some people, if it is healthy, it doesn't taste good. It might smell good, but it doesn't taste good. And for them, it makes no sense in eating something that doesn't taste good or something that they don't like. Now, it makes good sense, however, though, to realize that you must consider food as health-building and delicious, and also to learn to enjoy foods that are particularly rich in nutrients. Another reason people shy away from nutrition is that there is a widespread should not philosophy. You shouldn't eat this and you shouldn't eat that. You know, people suffer from different diseases or symptoms
and allergies.
Mm-hmm. And they're told not to eat this, not to eat that. Another reason is that people are pretty gullible. You know, we live in a culture where a headache is cured by an aspirin. Therefore, an ulcer or some other abnormalities that they might have, they believe it could be cured by just taking a vitamin pill. And we have millions of people taking capsules which contain everything. That's what they believe. And these preparations really can't provide the help that good nutrition would provide. In order to provide the good nutrition coming in from the food, we will have to take a capsule the size of a baseball. And another reason is that a lot of the information coming in is rather inaccurate. As a result, we have people who, thinking that they have knowledge and nutrition, they fail to improve their nutrition. For example, we have some people who are in the medical profession, and they would tell you, well, I work in the medical field, so I know about nutrition. And then you might find that some nurses or doctors, they walk around with a cigarette in their hand and a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. But these individuals believe that they know something about nutrition.
I think in some cases, people have just enough information on a given subject to immunize them from having a real thirst for true knowledge of the subject. And another factor you mentioned is that, you know, people take pills and expect, you know, be it medication or vitamins, and expect what's contained in the pill to take the place of their lifestyle. And it's interesting you brought out they have to take a pill big enough as a baseball field or football field.
Just a baseball.
So interestingly, what we're looking at, the amount of energy that is lost through an unhealthy lifestyle is so tremendous that it would have to require so much pills, good and bad pills, to replace that loss of energy. Continue.
We also find that wives who might become interested in the subject of nutrition before their husbands do might have to try everything in order for that person to change his unhealthy eating habits, even though he might be suffering from nutritional deficiencies. And then on the reverse, we also have husbands who, trying to prevent, you know, medical and dental bills, might criticize his wife for preparing foods that are not very healthy, in trying to help her to prepare healthy dishes. And as a result, we have these two groups coming together, and they kind of reach a deadlock. So then nutritious food is not talked about in a family like that.
Mm.
Now, we also have emotional connotations along with nutrition. And for some people, it symbolizes pleasure, pain, reward, punishment, etc. Now, a person who suffered from poverty while they was growing up in childhood, you know, that person might have had nutritious food, and we know that. A lot of people who are poor, they do eat pretty well, but as they grow older, they might associate, you know, eating that type of food with a sort of deprivation, and they might try to eat the less nutritious food that has been associated with people who are a little bit more wealthier than they are. Mm. And they would go towards, maybe they grew up eating the brown rice and the whole wheat flour and different things like that, the whole grains. But as they grow older and they want to assimilate to the wealthier class, they would go towards what the wealthier class has been accustomed to eating, such as the refined foods, white flour, white sugar, and so forth. Then another factor which prevents nutrition from being applied is that people look to their physicians to guide their health. Now, if the doctor has not revised their diet, it seems logical to them that nutrition is not important.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to forget that the study of medicine is a study of medicine. Now, from the first day of medical school throughout the years of a physician practice, this particular study is primarily one of disease rather than health. And many physicians are doing outstanding work in nutrition. The numbers are increasing yearly. However, the purpose of medicine is to help the sick person get well, or in the case of serious illnesses, to keep him alive. Now, the purpose of nutrition is to maintain health and prevent illnesses. And in the medical world, drugs are expected to do what good food could accomplish. And the last reason that I have is that there is such a vast gap between scientific and clinical studies dealing with nutrition. Sometimes it takes 20 to 30 years before they come up with some findings regarding some type of nutrition entity.
So there are reasons why people disassociate nutrition and health, because the profession that is established to take care of us don't seem to think nutrition is important. So as a common citizen, why should I think nutrition is important? They very seldom tell me, well, Miss Brown, you need to change your way of eating. You know, more emphasis is placed upon, make sure, Miss Brown, you take your pill when you rise up in the morning and just before you go to bed, and whatever else you do in between that, it may be all right, you know. And I think another reason why people shy away from nutrition is that they were not taught it in school. Their parents didn't think nutrition was important. We just grab whatever we can grab as we go through the door. So nutrition has come to be a second-class citizen. In fact, I got here a report from excerpt from Healthier School Meal, an article published October 8, 2003, CNN. Caption says, "Soggy canned vegetable and gluey white bread have no place in school meals and ought to be replaced with fresh produce and whole grain," experts told a congressional hearing Tuesday. That was 2003. So people are catching on. What we're seeing, many schools are changing their menu now. This is what the Congress make legislation that they have to present healthier food to the children. So now let's talk about the first step in having good nutrition. Where do we start?
Now, the first step in proper nutrition is having a good breakfast. You determine how you will feel throughout the day by the type of breakfast you eat or no breakfast at all. Now, in a book, Nutrition for Vegetarians, by Agatha Trash, MD, she says the most important meal of the day is breakfast. Those who eat a hearty breakfast have fewer accidents and higher performance tests on production, according to industrial statistics. School children get higher grades if they customarily eat a well-balanced breakfast. Now, when a breakfast is eaten and as the supply of blood sugar is used, persons experience a feeling of being worn out. In a book, Let's Eat Right to Keep Fit, it tells us that when the blood sugar drops to about 70 milligrams, hunger is experienced and a feeling of fatigue sets in. And at about 65 milligrams, a craving for sweets occurs and a growling in the intestines. And some people could kind of
identify
with mm-hmm. that. Now, with a continued drop, a person might experience headaches, wobbliness, and palpitations of the heart. His legs may give way and nausea and vomiting might be experienced. Now, a person whose blood sugar falls before normal becomes irritable, grouchy, moody, depressed, and uncooperative. Blackouts or fainting may occur if the blood sugar falls dangerously low, since the brain needs the energy from the sugar to function. Now, many children go to school without breakfast, and their blood sugar necessary for brain function may be abnormally low. And we have signs of hyperactivity, uncooperativeness, and poor concentration. Now, in a book called Low Blood Sugar and You, Dr. Frederick had a quote where he says that it is obvious that those who skip breakfast present their bodies every morning with a challenge of functioning in partial farming.
So skipping breakfast, she says, in quoting, presents the body a challenge of similar to driving from here to California, and in the morning when you get up in your car, you decide, oh, you know what, I'm too busy, I'm not going to put no gas in the car, I'm going to wait until I get to California, then I fill the car tank. Now, it's certainly obvious that that person would not reach to California. But yet still, because of a lack of understanding of the energy principles of the body, we think that we can avoid putting in energy in the morning within the system and just go on off to a day's work.
Now, in Let's Talk Health by Dr. Dunsbach, MD, PhD, in one of his magazines, he tells us that there was a study done in Children's Hospital in Boston, and they concluded that people who eat breakfast every morning are less likely to be overweight or show signs of diabetes than those who skip breakfast. The researchers suspect that people who have a good breakfast are less likely to snack during the day and may actually consume fewer calories overall.
Wow. Well, that speaks volume, because so much of America is overweight. What a tremendous problem. Some weeks ago, I heard on the news that they had some funding, I think it's in Tennessee, to help with the situation of obesity. But here's something simple that almost everyone can do. That is, by eating breakfast in the morning, it eliminates the desire to snack and to nibble all throughout the day. We usually say that such people have one meal, and they have that one meal all day long.
Now, some people eat sugar for breakfast. Now, some don't have breakfast, and some eat sugar for breakfast. Now, Dr. Richard Wattman, a neurologist at MIT, says eating sugar for breakfast could have a particular dramatic effect on brain composition and behavior. Now, in Let's Eat Right, they had many studies that have been done on factors influencing the level of blood sugar.
Just 1 minute before you go on, what do we mean by eating sugar for breakfast? You mean I take up a bowl of sugar and and just eat that for breakfast?
Well, I'll just share with you what they did in their studies and the breakfast that was given these individuals. Now, they had 200 volunteers, and they ate various types of breakfast. Each individual's blood sugar was warming before the meal and hourly for 3 hours afterwards. After black coffee alone, the blood sugar decreased, and the volunteers experienced lassitude, irritability, nervousness, hunger, fatigue, exhaustion, and headaches. The symptoms became progressively worse as the morning wore on. Two donuts and coffee with sugar and cream caused a rapid rise in blood sugar, but the amount fell within an hour to a low level, again resulting in inefficiency and fatigue. So for those who just have coffee and donuts for breakfast, this is what we mean by eating sugar for breakfast, and also the sugary cereals that, you know, we normally give to the children.
Like, well, I better not call the names, but we know what those sugary cereals are. As soon as you eat them, it just shoots the blood sugar level up in those little children, little kiddies, and they go bouncing off the wall like a ball. By the time they get to school, when it does tone down a little bit, by that time they get exhausted. That's a yo-yo effect. And adults do the same thing too. Eat that sugary breakfast, and then they run out of energy mid-morning, and guess what? They need another snack.
Now, some people might say, I'm not hungry in the morning, you know, and that's one reason why I don't eat breakfast. But this could mean that you probably overate last night. Now, dinner should be simple soup and salad or something like that. And in a book here called Counsels and Diets and Foods, it tells us that it's a custom and order of society to take a slight breakfast.
But that habit is wrong.
The best way to treat the stomach is to, at breakfast time, at breakfast time, the stomach is in better condition to take care of more food than at the second or third meal of the day. The habit of eating a sparing breakfast and a large dinner is wrong. Make your breakfast correspond more nearly to the heartiest meal of the day.
So, in our next program, we're going to cover the components of breakfast. What do we mean by a hearty breakfast?